Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gopakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
We're studying the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is replying to Arjuna's question about six topics.
Arjuna
wanted to understand what is the field of activities and who is the knower of the field.
Arjuna 想要弄清楚什么是活动场的知悉者.
So Lord Krishna explained that the body is a field of activity.
所以 Krishna 解释了身体是活动场.
And Lord Krishna listed the 24 elements which make up the material body.
而且 Krishna 罗列了组成这个身体的24种元素.
Both gross and subtle elements.
这些元素既有粗糙的也有精微的.
Lord Krishna then explained the knower of the field.
接着 Krishna 讲述了活动场的
There are two knowers.
活动场的知悉者.
There are two knowers of the field.
这个活动场有两个知悉者.
The individual living entity and the super soul.
那么这两个就是个体灵魂和超灵.
The individual living entity knows about one particular body.
那么个体灵魂呢只知道个人的这个躯体.
But the super soul is aware of all bodies.
但是呢，超灵却知道所有的躯体。
He knows the pains and pleasures of every living entity.
超灵知道每一个生物体的痛苦和快乐。
So then Lord Krishna also explained to Arjuna what is knowledge.
接着 Krishna他也解释，向Arjuna解释了什么是知识。
Knowledge, Krishna explains, means to understand the body and the knower.
那么 Krishna 他解释了说，关于这个躯体和躯体的知悉者，对他们的了解就被称为知识。
Or the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities.
或者是对这个躯体的活动场，这个躯体还有这个躯体的知悉者的知识。
In other words, knowledge means to understand not only the material body, but also the spiritual particle within the body.
那么不仅仅是关于这个知识，不仅仅关于是物质的知识，而且是关于这个物质躯体当中灵魂的这个知识，灵性的知识。
And then Lord Krishna also explained the process of knowledge.
接着 Krishna 又解释了知识的程序，知识的方法是什么。
The process of knowledge was explained by listing 18 different items.
那么，Krishna在回答这个问题的时候，他罗列了十八个获得这个知识的品质。The
first ones being humility and pridelessness.
那么首要的两个品质就是谦卑和无傲。Prabhupada
explains the importance of these qualities in acquiring knowledge.
他解释了获得知识必须的这两个品质的重要性。
Prabhupada also stressed the importance of approaching the spiritual master.
帕帕也强调了接近一位灵性导师的重要性。
Certainly, in approaching the spiritual master, one also has to have humility.
当然了，去接近一位灵性导师，一个人必须要谦卑恭顺。
And from the spiritual master, one should learn the process of devotional service.
从一个灵性导师那里去学习怎么样去获得奉献服务的程序。
So, Lord Krishna then went on to explain the relationship between material nature, prakriti, and purusha, the enjoyer.
接着 ，Krishna 又主 Krishna 又解释了。物质自然和 Purusha 之间的关系。
Purusha means the enjoyer.
那么 Purusha 的意思是享受者。
This is explained in the section beginning with the 20th verse.
那么这个解释呢，是从二十世节这一部分解释的。
In the 20th verse, Lord Krishna begins by explaining that.Both material nature and the living entity are eternal.
Krishna 在这里解释说，物质自然和生物全都是永恒的。
We may wonder, isn't there creation? Doesn't the material nature begin with creation?
我们会想的，难道这个物质创？
We may question, how can the material nature be eternal?
那我们肯定会想的，这个物质能量怎么可能是永恒的呢？物质自然怎么会是永恒的呢？
Because we know the material world has there is creation.
因为我们知道物质世界是一个创造物。
So we think that with the beginning of the world, this is with the creation, this is the beginning of the material nature.
那么就创造，那这个物质自然是创造，在创造一开始出现的这个物质自然。
So we may have difficulty to understand how the material nature can be eternal.
所以我们可能很难以理解物质自然怎么会是永恒的呢？
Srila Prabhupada explains that the material nature is eternal because before the creation, the material nature is.It's within the body of Mahavishnu.
那么，帕帕就在这里解释了，说在创造之前，物质自然在被创造之前，这个物质自然它是处在于主的身体之内的。
The material nature is in an unmanifest condition.
在那个时候，物质自然是处在未展示状态之中。
And similarly, the living entities have no body.
在那个时候呢，同样的，生物是没有躯体的。
The living entities in the material world, the conditioned living entities, they're also in the unmanifested stage before creation.
在那个时候，就是虽然在创造之中的我们这个物质，生物是有躯体的，但是在创造之前，这些生物都是处在未展示期间，还没有展示出他们的躯体。
But with the creation.Then the material nature is manifest, and then the living entities also come into existence.
那么在创造的时候，物质自然就处于展示的状态之中。这个时候，生物体也有了他们的这个躯体。
So both the living entities and the material nature are eternal.
所以呢，生物和物质自然全都是永恒的。
Sometimes they are manifest, and sometimes they're not.
他们有的时候是展示的状态，有的时候是未展示状态。
Just like sometimes we have a body, sometimes we don't.
就像是我们有的时候有这个躯体，但是有的时候是没有的。
But the spirit soul is eternally existing.
但是灵性的灵魂是永恒存在的。
In the same way, also material nature is eternally existing.
同样的，物质自然也是永恒存在的。
So the material, The material nature causes us, through the material nature, we experience different types of pains and pleasure.
所以通过物质自然，我们经历到各种痛苦和快乐。
And these pains and pleasures are caused by the material body.
那么这些痛苦和快乐是由于物质躯体导致的。
The material body is the result of our desire.
那物质躯体呢，是我们物质欲望的。结果
And how we associate with the different modes of nature also causes us happiness and distress.
那我们怎么样和这个物质自然接触，也导致了我们的痛苦和快乐。
So the living entity is superior to the material nature.
所以呢，生物是高于物质自然的。
But he is also the energy of the Supreme Lord.
但是生物也是至尊主的能量。
The super soul is not simply the energy of the Lord.
超灵它不是说是主的能量。
The super soul is the expansion of the Lord, personal expansion.
那么超灵呢是主的人格性的展示，个体展示。
So
扩展。
The living entity is subordinate to the super soul.
所以，那么个体灵魂是从属于超灵的。
But the living entity desires to enjoy the material world.
但是生物体却享受这个物质世界。
And this is why he associates with the prakriti, with the material nature.
这就是为什么生物体和这个物质自然接触 prakriti 的原因。
So the creation of the material world has two functions.
所以呢，物质世界的创造有两个功能作用。
One purpose is for the living entity to satisfy material desire.
一个目的是为了这个个体生物享受这个物质世界。
We want to enjoy.
满足他们的物质愿望。
We want to enjoy.
我们想要享受。
Because we want to enjoy, we take this material body.
因为我们想去享受，所以我们有了这个物质躯体。
And we try to enjoy the material nature.
而且我们试图享受，去享受这个物质自然。
But there's another person. There's a supreme enjoyer.
但是呢，却有另外一个高等的享受者。
The supreme enjoyer is the super soul, the Lord in the heart.
那么至尊的享受者就是我们心中的超灵。
And
主，心中的主。
The Lord in the heart gives us independence.
那心中的主呢，给予我们独立性。
He allows us to act as we please.
他容许我们如我们想象的，如我们想要的那种方式去行为。
The activity of the super soul was described in text 23.
那么在第23诗节里面讲述了超灵的活动。
Krishna says, in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer.
Krishna 说，在这个躯体中有另一个超然的享受者。
He is the Lord, the supreme proprietor.
他就
executes as the overseer and permitter.
他就是主，至尊无上的拥有者，以监察者和准许者的身份存在，被称为超灵。
He is known as the super soul. Yeah.
他被称为超灵。
So the super soul witnesses the activities of the living entity.
所以呢，超灵见证着生物体的活动。
People say, Prabhupada remembers when he was a young man at school, his teachers were Christian.
有一次，帕巴还是一个学生的时候，他的老师是一个
Christian.
Christian，是一个基督教徒。
So they do not believe in reincarnation.
所以呢，他们不相信有轮回。
So they would argue to the students that how can you say that you are suffering for things you did in the past?
那么他们就是学生和老师之间就发生了争执，就说你们这个痛苦。
How can you say in your Hindu philosophy you say that you're suffering for the deeds you did in your past life?
然后那个他的老师呢就问这些学生说，在你们的这个印度教徒里面，你们说你们是因为你们以前的过往的行为，所以导致了现在的痛苦，你们怎么能够这么说呢？
But they say who has seen this? Have you who's a witness to these activities?
然后他就问谁是这些活动的见证者？
So It is explained here that the super soul is awareness. We do not remember what we have done, what the sinful, what activities we have performed in the past.
我们不记得我们以前前世做过什么样的罪恶活动。
But Krishna remembers.
但是Krishna记得。
In his form as a super soul, he's the witness to every living entity's activities.
Krishna他以超灵的形式，他知道每一个生物体所做的活动，过往的生生世世的活动。
And he awards us according to our activities.
所以呢，他根据生物体的活动给予相应的回报。 给予相应的回应。
Prabhupada said to one devotee, he said, just think how busy Krishna must be.
有一次 Prabhupada 对他的奉献者说, 你可以看看 Krishna是多么忙。
He's in the heart of every living entity.
Krishna他居于每一个人的心中, 每一个生物体的心中。
And in every heart, he's giving knowledge, remembrance, and forgiveness.
然后他在众生的心中给予每一个生物知识、记忆和遗忘。
So then, after describing this relationship between the material nature and the living entity, then Krishna explains the benefit of this knowledge.
就当 Krishna 解释了这个物质自然和
The benefit is described in beginning in text 24.
这个益处在24节里描述了。
Where it is mentioned that simply by understanding this knowledge, you never have to take birth again.
这里说到了，不管你现在，我们只因为获得了这样的知识，那么你就不会再。 这里再次投生了，不会在这个物质世界里再次投生了。
This is the purpose of the Krishna conscious philosophy.
这就是Krishna知觉的哲学的目的。
To solve the problem of birth and death.
是为了解决生与死的问题。
That we have to be determined to get out from this material world.
我们必须要下定决心从这个物质世界里超脱出来。
We don't want to come back again.
我们再也不想再投生到这个物质世界里了。
再回到这个物质世界。We're determined to go back to Krishna.
我们必须要下定决心回到Krishna身边。So
if we understand this knowledge properly about the Lord and the heart, the living entity and material nature,
所以我们应该正确地去理解我们心中的主、物质自然和生物、个体灵魂。And
if we understand it, then we will apply it in our life.
如果我们正确地理解了这一知识的话，就能够运用到我们的生活当中。We
apply this knowledge by performing devotional service.
我们是通过从事奉献服务来运用这个知识的。We
keep ourselves engaged in this activity of hearing, and chanting, and remembering Krishna.
我们应该始终让自己去聆听、去唱诵关于 Krishna 的讯息。Now
in text 26. Krishna explains very nicely the importance of hearing.
在26世节里, Krishna 非常精彩地描述了这聆听的重要性。
And first of all, in text 25, he described different processes by which people may meditate and understand the super soul.
那么在25世节里, Krishna 他解释了通过各种各样的方法去 理解超灵,
For example, by Astanga Yoga.
例如通过 Astanga Yoga 八步瑜伽,
Or by Sankhya philosophy.
或者是 Sankhya 哲学,
or,
数论哲学,
or Karma Yoga.
或者是 Karma Yoga, 不带功利性活动, 不带功利性欲望的活动,
which is all explained in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita.
这些呢, 都在《博迦梵歌》的第一 第一章里解释过了。
But what about other people?
但是其他人呢?
Do they have any hope?
难道他们就对于他们来说就毫无希望了吗?
So in text 26, Krishna says, if people just simply hear about this knowledge, then they can be changed. Their lives can be changed.
那么在26世界里, Krishna说, 如果人们只是通过聆听这个知识, 他们的生命就会得到改变。
Yeah, you can read that first.
26节，还有些人虽然不精通灵性知识，却从其他人那里聆听到主，并开始崇拜至尊者。由于他们有聆听权威的倾向，所以也超越了生死之途。
Yeah, this is very important. This is Prabhupada's mission to give so many, to give people all over the world the opportunity to hear about Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，这个是非常重要的。Prabhupada 的使命就是让全世界的人们都听到关于 Krishna 的讯息。
Prabhupada wanted all of us to go and tell everybody about Krishna.
Krishna 想要Prabhupada 想要我们每个人都去告诉别人关于 Krishna 的哲 Krishna 的知识。
And he came himself and traveled all over the world just to tell us all about Krishna.
而且他以身作则到全世界去传教，告诉每一个人 Krishna 之觉。
People are so unfortunate in the material life; they're suffering in miserable conditions.
在这个从事这种物质生活的人，他们非常的不幸。他们完全的束缚在这种痛苦之中。
Sachimata was one lady was saying to me yesterday, she works in a big company, thousands of people, and there are only two devotees in the whole company.
昨天有一个 Mata 姐 ，Sachimata 告诉我说，她在一个大公司里工作，但是呢，那个公司里有上千个人，却只有两个奉献者。
And they were saying that one person was saying, what?You know why you only have? There's only two devotees. So many people, you only have two devotees.
在这个公司里有那么多人，怎么就只有两个奉献者呢？为什么会这样呢？
Because the other people don't have the opportunity to hear.
因为其他人他没有得到机会聆听。
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that.Love for Krishna is in every living entity's heart.
主在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 里面，主 Chaitanya 说每个人心中原本都有对 Krishna 的爱。
It has to be awakened by hearing about Krishna.
他必须要通过聆听有关 Krishna 的知识得到唤醒。
If you don't get to hear about Krishna, then it would be very hard to awaken Krishna consciousness.
如果他们没有机会去聆听有关 Krishna 的知识的话，是很难唤醒他们对心中对 Krishna 的爱的。
Lord Chaitanya met with Ramananda Roy.
主 Chaitanya 他遇到过 Ramananda Roy.
And he, Ramananda Roy, was a householder, a family man, and not a Brahmin, not born in a high class.
Ramananda Roy 他不是出生在一个很高贵的家庭里面，他也不是一个婆罗门，他在那个他那个时候是一个居士。
And Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi born in a Brahmana family.
而主 Chaitanya 他是出生在婆罗门家庭，而且他还是一位 sannyasi.
Usually, it's the duty of the low class man to question the man born in the high class.
实际上一般来说应该是这个出生较低的这个人应该去询问出生较高的那个人。
Especially, they should question the sannyasi, ask questions, get knowledge from the sannyasi.
实际上像他这样的人 Ramananda Roy 这样的人他应该去询问 sannyasi 有关这个知识方面的问题。
But Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy questions.
但是主 Chaitanya 却询问了主 Ramananda Roy 问题。
And he asked Ramananda Roy, what do the scriptures say? What is the perfection of life according to the scriptures?
那么主 Chaitanya 却问 Ramananda Roy 说，根据经典来说，什么是生命的完美境界？
So Ramananda Roy first of all said, to follow the duties of Varna and Ashram is the perfection.
那 Ramananda Roy 一开始就回答了说，去追随 Varnashrama 制度就是生命的目标。
Yeah, if one is a Brahmana, do the duties of a Brahmana. If one is a Brahmachari, do the duty of the Brahmachari.
如果一个人是婆罗门 Brahmana, 他就应该履行 Brahmana 的职责；如果一个人是 Brahmachari, 遵守僧，他就应该履行遵守僧的职责。
But Lord Chaitanya said.But that is just external. That is not going to help people much.
但是主持他那样说，这只不过是外在的，它不能够很好的、很大的程度上去帮助人们。
So then Ramananda Rai gave different suggestions. He even suggested surrender to Krishna.
那么他就，那么 Ramananda Rai 就接着就给出了这样的建议，说甚至说出了要去臣服、皈依 Krishna 的这种建议。
But Ramananda Lord Chaitanya did not accept that.
但是主持他那样却还没有接受。
He said, people in this Kali Yuga, people are just like animals in this Kali. Even if they surrender to Krishna, they will cheat Krishna, try to cheat Krishna.
那么主持他那样说，在这个物质世界里，尤其是这个卡利年代，每个人都跟动物一样，即便他们是臣服了 Krishna, 但是他们却想是为了欺骗 Krishna.
So just that simply to surrender to Krishna is not enough.
所以呢，只不如果仅仅只是臣服 Krishna 的话还不够。
So then,Ramananda Rai said, they should hear about Krishna in the association of devotees.
接着 Ramananda Rai 就说，他们应该去和 Krishna 和 Krishna 的奉献者联谊，去聆听 Krishna 有关 Krishna 的信息。
They should be humble and give up sinful activities.
那么人们应该学会谦卑，放弃那些罪恶的活动。
They should remain in whatever position they are in.
那么人们应该保持他们现在所处的。状态。
And in this way, they will conquer Krishna.
通过这样呢，他们去培养 Krishna 之觉。
So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, and he was very happy, he said, "Yes, this is what we want to talk about."
这然后主持他那听了这个以后，他说是，他非常高兴，说对，这就是我们要说的。
So this verse 26 is bringing out the mood and the mission of Prabhupada and the Krishna consciousness movement.
所以呢，二十六师节他告诉我们，向我们显明了帕帕的使命 ，Krishna 知觉。
To give people the chance to hear about Krishna.
给予每一个人机会去聆听 Krishna 讯息的机会。
One devotee was wondering, said, "Prabhupada, are we qualified to tell people about Krishna?" He said, "We're not perfect."
然后有一个奉献者去询问帕帕说：“帕帕，我们都不完美，难道我们有资格去传播 Krishna 知觉吗？”
Prabhupada said, "If you just simply repeat what you have heard from me and from the scriptures, then that is perfect."
那帕帕回答说，如果你只是去重复从我这里听到的，从经典里听到的，那么你说的就是完美的。
In other words, we may not be perfect, but what we say is perfect.
那么也就是说，我们可能不是完美的，但是说的话是蛮完美的。
If we are repeating what we have heard from the authorities, then that is perfect knowledge.
如果我们去重复从权威那里听来的话，那么这重复的这些话就是完美的知识。
And that can give the greatest benefit to the conditioned soul.
那么这样的知识就能够使众生受益，受最大的益处。
It can change their lives.
它这样的知识可以改变其他生物体的生命生活。
Devotees have to have this compassion for the fallen souls.
所以奉献者应该对堕落的灵魂有这样的怜悯之心。
That we want to give them this, we don't want to just simply keep this knowledge for ourselves.
我们不要仅仅把这个知识占为己有。
Just like if you know how to cure some disease.
就像你要知道怎么样去治病一样。
And you know that there are many, many people suffering from this disease.
而且你知道有很多人都因为受了这种病而很痛苦。
Then we should be willing to go and tell them how to cure the disease.
所以呢，我们应该是自愿的去告诉人们怎么样去治愈这样的疾病。
In the same way, we should give this Krishna conscious knowledge to others.
所以同样的，我们应该把 Krishna 知觉给予其他的人，
and bring them out of this miserable condition of material life.
使他们从这个痛苦的物质痛苦当中超脱出来。
So the final section of verses in Bhagavad in this chapter, 13th chapter.
那么这个第十三章的最后一部分。
So text 27 describes how the material nature, and that there's always this combination between the material nature and the living entities in the material world.
那么在这个二十七世界里面就讲到，在这个物质世界里，所有的 都讲到了活动场和场地认知者的结合。
The matter on its own cannot create life.
那么物质它本身是不能够创造出生命的。
You need a living entity, the knower of the field, to give life to the body.
它需要物质，需要这个场地的知悉者给予这个物质活力，生命活力。
We see sometimes people, they go to a hospital and they have the best medical treatment.
Yeah,
the latest medical treatment, all the best technology.
And
the best doctor. But still the patient
dies.
The soul leaves the body.
那灵魂离开了那个躯体。
The life is not created just simply by chemicals.
所以生命它不是由这个化学的成分起作用产生出来的，创造出来的。
The life in the body is dependent on the presence of the soul.
那生命是因为灵魂的存在才有了生命。
And when that soul leaves the body, then nothing can bring that body back to life.
那么当这个灵魂离开躯体的时候，这个躯体就不能够再复活了。
So even in text 27, Krishna talks about the moving and the non-moving living entities.
在27世界里， Krishna 讲了动和不动的生物。
Non-moving living entities mean things like trees, they stay in the ground.
就像动不动的生物体，例如树，它一动不动地站在原地。
So they also have souls.
那树也有灵魂。
They also, their bodies are made of matter, but within the body there is the living entity, the soul.
那么树呢，它也有它的 这个物质躯体，树的这个躯体，在这个树的躯体之内，也有个体灵魂的存在。
This last section is explaining the help us understand the difference between the body and the soul.
那第十三章的最后的这一部分告诉我们，灵魂和物质之间的分别。
That we have to understand the most important part of the body is the soul.
我们必须要了解这个躯体的最重要的一部分就是灵魂。
We spend so much time taking care of the body, but we neglect the need of the soul.
我们花了很多的时间去关注这个躯体，却忽视了灵魂。
The soul needs to hear about Krishna.
灵魂需要去聆听关于Krishna的知识。
We need to give spiritual food for the soul.
我们必须要给灵魂灵粮。
It is not enough to simply to decorate the body.
我们去装饰这个躯体是毫无用处的。
Prabhupada explains about that he gives the story of the bird in the cage.
他讲述了关于这个笼中之鸟的故事。
You keep the bird in the cage and but you don't put any food for the bird.
如果把一只鸟放在这个笼关在笼子里，但是却不给鸟喂食。
So the bird is going to die.
那鸟过不长时间就死了。
And the same way, if you simply take care of the body, you dress the body nicely, you decorate it.
同样的，如果我们装饰这个物质躯体，给这个物质躯体穿精美的服装。
But we neglect the soul.
但如果忽视了灵魂。
So even though we have everything for the body, we're not satisfied.
即便是我们非常了解这个物质躯体，但是我们却不满足。
Hare Krishna. So in text 29, Krishna speaks about how we can if we have this spiritual knowledge, we will conquer over the mind.
那么在29世界里，Krishna 说到了，如果我们有了灵性的知识，我们就能够征服心意。
The mind is always attracted to sense gratification.
心意它总是想让我们去满足感官，感官享乐。
But when we have the spiritual knowledge, then we can train our mind to give up the attraction for sense gratification.
但是，一旦有了灵性的知识，我们就能够训练心意放弃感官享乐。
This is an important point in spiritual practice.
所以这一点在灵修当中是非常重要的。
The mind has to have some subject to absorb itself.
那心意必须要有它专注的目标。
And if we have this spiritual knowledge, then this will give good strength to the mind.
那如果有了灵性的知识，这样就可以给予心意力量。
We will lose our interest in material sense gratification.
我们就会对物质感官享乐兴趣索然。
We will remember this spiritual knowledge.
我们会记着灵性的知识。
We have to understand that.The soul can never be seen by material vision.
我们必须要明白，灵魂永远不能够通过物质的视域看到。
Real vision is to see through the eyes of Scripture.
那么真正的视域就是通过经典的眼睛去看。
Just like they said, a dog, he will see things. For a dog to understand things, he will just simply come and smell everything.
那么对于狗来说呢，它是通过嗅觉去知道这个东西是什么。
And the same way, ordinary conditioned people, they will simply depend on their eyes to see everything.
那么同样的，一般的生物体，一般的人，他们都是通过自己的这个物质的眼睛去看。
But you can never understand the soul simply by your eyes.
但是只是通过我们这个物质的眼睛是不能够看到灵魂的。
To understand the soul, we have to see things.Through the scriptures,
要想去明白灵魂，必须要通过经典去看。
That is spiritual vision.
这就是灵性的视域。
Spiritual vision is, with spiritual vision, we can see the equality of all living entities.
通过灵性的视域，我们能够看到众生的众生的品质。
The dog, the elephant, the cow, and the man—they're all equal.
那么我们可以看到众生。无论是狗是大象是人类他们都是平等的
yeah, they all have some bones and blood and flesh
他们都有骨头都有血都有肉
different combinations of these things
那就是他们是都是这个物质的不同的组合
and the material bodies are the same they're just appearing in different shapes
那这个物质躯体的组成元素都是一样的只不过是他们看上的这个形象不一样
they have different bodies different bodies at different sizes and shapes but their activities are basically the same
但虽然他们看上去有大有小大小都不一样躯体也不一样那么他们的眼睛也不一样但实际上他们的活动基本上是差不多的基本上是一样的
eating and sleeping, mating, defending.
就是吃睡防卫交配
So with spiritual vision we can see the equality of all these different living entities
所以呢我们通过灵性的视域就能够看到所有生物体的这些品质
These different bodies are given according to our desires from the previous life
他们之所以得到现有的躯体都是因为他们过往的活动他们的欲望导致的
We know 8,400,000 different species of life
我们都知道有840万种生物种族
And these are all different types of desires
这也是不同的欲望的展示
So one in spiritual knowledge One who has spiritual knowledge Will see all of these different living entities equally
所以当一个人具有了灵性的知识他就会带着平等的眼光去看待众生
Because he sees within every living entity There is a soul
因为他看到众生都是灵魂
So the soul doesn't do anything within the body
所以灵魂 躯体当中的灵魂并不做什么事情。
It's the body which does.
只不过是这个物质躯体在做事情。
The soul just simply is giving the life to the body.
那灵魂只不过是让这个躯体有了生命活力。
So when one has a spiritual knowledge, then he will see that the soul is transcendental and eternal.
当一个人具有了灵性的知识，他就会看到灵魂是超然的，是永恒的。
Krishna gives a nice example in text
33.
Krishna is explaining, but because the soul is in the body, so we may wonder, does the soul, does it become mixed up with the body?
那么这里说的 因为灵魂在躯体当中，所以这个灵魂是不是跟躯体混在一起了呢？
But Krishna explains here, he said, just like the sky never mixes with things.
Krishna 在这里说到了，他就像是天空，从来没有和空气，却不与任何东西相混。
The sky is all pervading, but it never mixes.
但是天空是它变成万物的，却不与任何东西混合在一起。
And the same way the soul is within the body, but never mixed with the body.
但同样的，虽然灵魂它寓居于身体当中，但是它从来不和身体相混。
It maintains its individuality.
那么灵魂它维系了这个个体性，身体的存在。
And then in text 34, Krishna gives another example.
在34世节里，Krishna又给出了另外一个例子。
Read the verse.
34世节，巴拉塔之子呀，正如太阳独自照明整个宇宙，在躯体里的生物也以知觉照明整个躯体。
That one soul within the body gives consciousness to all parts of the body.
躯体里的灵魂给予这个生以知觉照明整个躯体。
This is the perfect design of the material body.
这就是这个物质躯体的一个征候。
Simply from one tiny particle in the heart, it's giving consciousness to all the parts of the body.
只不过是这个微粒大小的这个灵魂，就给予了这个身体知觉。
And this is true for all living entities.
而且这对所有的众生来说都是这个样，都是这是一个真相。
And then in the final verse of the chapter.
在这个世节的最后一个，在这一章的最后一世节
，Lord Krishna summarizes.
主Krishna他概述了这一章。那些35，那些以知识之眼看到躯体与躯体认知者的区别，又能了解从物质自然的束缚中获得解脱的程序的人，能到达至高无上的目标。So,
Prabhupada explains in the purport that. To understand this science of the soul, it's very important to have good association.
帕帕在要旨里解释说，要了解灵魂是非常重要的。了解这一点是要需要有恰当的联谊，正确的联谊。
With good association, then we can get the proper guidance to understand the difference between matter and spirit and the controller of both.
通过好的联谊，我们才能够认识到灵魂和躯体之间的分别，还有两者的控制者。So
this 13th chapter, as we said, this is a difficult chapter. There's a lot of philosophy, a lot of philosophical knowledge. Contained in this 13th chapter.
我们就正如已经说过的，第十三章是比较难以理解的，因为里面有很多哲学的知识点。
If you go through it again, you can go through it again on your own.
你可以自己再重新学习。Try
to understand the different sections of the chapter.
要了解这一章节的不同的部分。
How Lord Krishna is explaining. Everything.
Krishna 是怎么解释这一切的？
First of all, up to text 7, Lord Krishna explains the body.
我们回到第六章节第七章节 Krishna 解释了这个躯体
The field of activities.
解释了这个躯体就是这个活动场
Then text 8 to 12 describe the process of knowledge.
在第8到12章节他解释了获得知识的程序
And then the next section is dealing with Well, text 13 describes an individual living entity.
第13章节讲述了个体灵魂.
Then 14 to 18 describes the super soul.
那么第14到18章节解释了超灵.
Mm-hmm. Text 19 summarizes.
那第19章节呢又对上面的章节进行了概述.
Then text 20 to 26.
那从20章节到26章节
It describes the relationship between Prakriti, material nature, and Purusha, the enjoyer.
那么从20章到26章节解释了这个物质自然 Prakriti 和 Purusha 享受者之间的关系
And then these are summarized.
接着呢又进行了概述
The final section is explaining the difference between the body and the soul.
从27章节一直到后面 全都解释了关于灵魂和物质之间的分别
Krishna consciousness is a spiritual movement
Krishna知觉是灵性的运动
We are not interested in just simply catering to the demands of the body
我们不仅对这个物质躯体的需求感兴趣
We know that this material body is temporary and will be finished one day
我们都知道这个物质躯体是短暂的终有一天要结束的
but we can use this body in the service of Krishna
但是我们可以把这个物质躯体用来服务 Krishna
and by using it in the service of Krishna we can qualify ourselves to be liberated from this material
通过应用这个物质躯体服务 Krishna 我们就能够使自己有资格从这个物质世界里超脱出来 回到 Krishna那里
Are there any questions on this chapter?
关于这一章有什么问题吗?
When we speak of Zhongjiao religion, there are different types of religion according to different social conditions.
那根据这个社会的环境，就有对这个宗教有不同的称呼。
Just like somebody is born in some Middle East country, so he may by But by birth, he may take a particular religion such as Islam.
就像是出生在中东的人，他们就有他们这个自己的那个宗教，叫称为伊斯兰。
Somebody may be born in a tiny part of the Middle East, which is called Israel, and he may become Jewish.
那么有一些就在中东的一些小地区出生的人呢，他们在那里的他们的宗教呢就被称为犹太教。
So by taking birth in a particular place, they develop a belief in a particular way.
所以呢，通过他们出生的地不一样，所以呢，他们就产生了不同的信仰。
So Krishna consciousness is not teaching any kind of sectarian religion like that.
那么 Krishna 知觉并不是告诉我们哪个宗派的宗教信仰。
Krishna consciousness is teaching universal principles.
Krishna 知觉教导的是全宇宙性的这种原则
It is teaching the eternal nature of the every living entity
它教导的是关于每一个生物的它们的本性
Not just simply some belief which some people in one place have
不是说是某一个地方的那些人们的信仰
And then you go to some other place and then people have a different belief
当你去到别的地方的时候，那里的人们他又有他们的不同的信仰。
But Bhagavad Gita is teaching eternal principles.
但是呢，博迦梵歌，Bhagavad Gita它教导的是永恒的原则。
Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, we learn that the body changes from childhood to youth to old age.
就像是我们从博迦梵歌里知道，这个躯体从小孩一直到年老都有不同经历过。经历不同的变化。
And at one point we give up the body and we have to take another body.
那么在死亡的时候，我们要放弃躯体，然后接受另一个躯体。
So these principles are true for every living entity.
所以这个原理对每一个生物来说都是一样的。
There are laws of nature for every living entity.
那么每生对每一个生物体来说都有这个能量的法则。自然法则。
Particularly in the human form of life, we have a responsibility distinct from animals.
那么尤其是对人类来说，就有责任感。这种，他们跟动物是不一样的，跟这种责任感使人类有别于动物。
Every living entity should try to understand. Every human being should try to understand what is.This body and what is the soul?
那每一个人类，每一个人都应该明白什么是这个躯体，什么是灵魂。
We should understand that what is the source of life in this body.
我们必须要明白这个物质，这个身体的生命力的来源是哪里，是什么。
The nature of it is proper for people to inquire about life.
但就是人们呢。他们如果去询问关于生命的问题是非常正确的。
To ask questions such as who am I, why am I here?
如果人们问我是谁，我从哪里来
？Where will what will happen to me when this body dies?
当这个躯体死亡的之后，这个还有什么事情发生
？Why is somebody rich and why is somebody poor?
为什么有人富有人穷
？Why is somebody given the opportunity to get education and others do not get the opportunity.
为什么有人有机会去得到教育，有的人却没有这样的机会呢？
Why is somebody healthy and another person sick?
为什么有的人很健康，有的人却重病在身？
We should try to inquire about such things.
我们应该去询问这样的问题。
Just as Arjuna is asking Krishna.
这就是 Arjuna 向 Krishna 问的。
In this 13th chapter, he asked Krishna, "What is the field of activities, and who is the knower of the field?"
就像 Arjuna 在第十三章向 Krishna 问了，什么是活动场，什么是活动场的知悉者
？So this is an intelligent question.
所以这样的问题才是有智慧的问题。
Everyone should try to understand this knowledge.
每一个人都应该去努力了解这门知识。
It does not matter what is their faith.What culture they're born in?
不，他们的文化背景，他们的信仰是什么，都无关紧要。
This is eternal knowledge.
所以 ，Krishna 知觉是永恒的知识。
We're not speaking about some. We're not saying you have to believe this.
我们有啊。
We are not forcing some belief on people.
我们没有必要强迫人们去相信这个。
We're just simply saying that this is how the material body is described. This is how it's explained.
我们只是去说这个就是这个这个对这个身体物质自然的描述。
So in the 13th, we're going to go on to the 14th chapter.
我们现在继续十四章。
So in the 14th chapter, the three modes of material nature.
十四章讲的是物质自然三形态。
Lord Krishna is going to explain how the living entity relates to these different modes of nature.
那么第十四章，主 Krishna 他解释了生物体是如何跟这个物质自然联系上的。
There's a connection. The connection between this 14th chapter and the last chapter, the 13th chapter.Comes through verse 22.
从这个从第十四章
第十三 第
从第十三章
22节，
就是第十四章和十三之节之间的这个关联。
In the 22nd verse, Lord Krishna had said that according to how the living entity associates with the modes of nature, he meets with happiness and distress.
那么主 Krishna 在二十二世节里就说到了，这是由于生物跟物质自然接触的原因，于是便在不同的生命种族中遭遇善恶诸事。
So, this is the subject matter of the 14th chapter.This, we want to know about these three modes of material nature.
所以这就是第十四章的主题，关于这个物质自然三形态的知识。
In the material world, we're all caught up, tied up by these three modes of nature.
在这个物质世界里，我们每个人都受到物质自然三形态的束缚、捆缚。
And we have to understand how these things affect us and how we can get out from them.
我们必须要明白我们是怎么样被这些事情被物质自然三形态影响的，而且应该去了解怎么样摆脱物质自然三形态的影响。
So this 14th chapter begins, Lord Krishna first of all glorifies this knowledge.
在第十四章一开始，至尊歌手神 Krishna 就荣耀了这门知识。
He says, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge.
至尊歌手神说，我要再次向你宣讲这门至高无上的智慧，最好的知识。
By which all the sages attain the supreme perfection.
通过掌握它，所有的圣哲就达到了至高的完美境界。
So, even great sages in the past, they also got perfection from this knowledge.
甚至过往的那些圣哲们，他们通过这个知识就达到了至高无上的完美。
Lord Krishna is not presenting something which is just simply his own philosophy.
Krishna, 他不是只是说自己的哲学。
But it was used already by great sages.
因为他所用的已经被那些先前的圣哲们所用了。
And we heard also in the last chapter, Lord Krishna was quoting from other scriptures.
我们也可以从上一个章第十三章里了解到。Krishna 他也引述了，他也说到了先前的那些圣哲们所说的。
So Lord Krishna does not just simply speak his own philosophy.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他不仅仅只是在说自己的哲学。
We said there are three authorities.
我们知道有三种权威。
And they should all be there.
那这三种权威必须都同时存在。
The three authorities: Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru.
三个权威就是 Sadhu, Shastra 和 Guru， 圣人。经典和灵性导师。
We cannot just simply have only guru.
我们不能够说只是有自己的灵性导师。
And we cannot just simply have only shastra.
我们也不能够只是有经典。
And even if we have two of the three, it's not enough.
即使是在这三个权威当中，你只有两个权威也是不够的。
We may say, no, I have sadhu and shastra.
我们可能说我有沙度和 shastra， 我有圣人，还有这个经典的指导。
If you have no guru, then you have a problem.
要如果没有灵性导师的指导，你肯定会有问题。
You have to have all three.
你必须要同时有这三个权威的指导。
And they have to all be saying the same thing.
而且他们所说的全都是一致的。
So Lord Krishna, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the importance of philosophical speculation.
在帕帕在要旨里讲述了关于这种哲学思辨。
Yeah, that we have to understand this knowledge on the, by the process of philosophical speculation.
我们必须要通过这种哲学的推理去了解这门知识。
Now, one time, I remember in London, there was one young Indian boy. He was coming, and he read in the Bhagavad Gita how Prabhupada said we must understand this by philosophical speculation.
有一次我在伦敦的时候，有一个印度，就是伦敦籍的印度年轻人，他就是读了《博迦梵歌》中帕帕讲述了这里说，我们要通过哲学推理去了解这门知识。
So when the boy heard this, he said to Prabhupada, he said, but Prabhupada, you always tell us we should not speculate.
然后这个年轻人就去问帕帕，他说，帕帕，你告诉我们不应该思辨啊。
You always criticize people for speculation.
你总是在批评那些思辨的人。
You said that we can never get understand Krishna by speculation.
你说过我们通过思辨是不能够明白 Krishna 的。
But here in the Bhagavad Gita, you've told us we must understand by philosophical speculation.
但是在这里，在要旨里面，博伽梵歌你却说了，我们要通过哲学思辨去了解这门知识。
So he said, "This is a contradiction."
难道这之间有什么矛盾吗？
Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "I said." Do not, you cannot understand Krishna by mental speculation.
啊，帕帕说没有什么矛盾。我是说，不能够用通过这种心智思辨去了解 Krishna.
By mental speculation, you cannot understand Krishna. That is condemned.
那么，如果要通过心智思辨，你永远也不能够了解 Krishna， 这个是不应该这么做的。But
philosophical speculation, that is necessary.
但是哲学思辨就是有必要的。
We have to understand everything on the basis of scriptures and the teachings from the acharyas.
我们必须要通过这个经典的知识，通过 acharya 他们给予我们的知识，以这个为基础去了解。
Just like you are hearing this now, you have to understand it.
就像是你也在聆听，他也在聆听，但是你必须要明白。
Not just simply only memorize it.
啊，不是说仅仅是记忆。
But you have to actually realize it. You have to understand it.
你必须要去认识，去明白，去觉悟。
Then you can apply it.
这样你才能够运用。
Prabhupada gave an example.
帕帕他给了一个例子。
He said, just like in Bhagavad Gita.
就像是《博伽梵歌》里面。
Krishna says, "I am the taste in water."
Krishna 说我是水的味道。
He said, "You should understand by philosophical speculation how is Krishna the taste in water."
帕帕说，你必须要通过哲学的思辨去了解 Krishna 怎么是水的味道。But
not by mental speculation.
而不是通过心智思辨。
Our mind is defective.
我们的那个心意是 defective， 是有缺陷的。
Our mind will make mistakes.
我们的心意容易犯错误。
Our mind will be subject to illusion.
我们的心意很容易受迷惑。
We know conditioned souls have 4 defects.
我们都知道受条件限制的灵魂都有4个缺点。
They cheat and be cheated.
还是就是欺骗被欺骗。
Subject to illusion, make mistakes.
容易受到迷惑，有犯错误的倾向。
So, if we just simply try to depend on the mind, we will not get perfect knowledge. But if we understand this knowledge on the basis of scriptures, on the basis of the knowledge from the scriptures, then there's no fault.
但是如果你基于经典的知识去了解的话，是没有错误的。
So philosophical speculation means to understand on the basis of the scriptures.
所以呢，哲学思辨的意思就是基于经典的知识去了解。
This is why we're studying the scriptures.
这就是为什么我们要去学习研究经典。
If we read these books carefully, we'll get more knowledge.
如果我们很好的去阅读这本书的话，你就会得到知识。
We don't want you to just simply memorize what's in the book.
我们不是说只仅仅是记忆这个书里面写的知识。
But understand it, and then you can use it to get more knowledge.
而是要去明白，去觉悟，这样你才能够去运用这门真正的知识。
So this is realization.
所以这就是觉悟。
We want to be able to realize our actual position.
我们必须要去觉悟到自己真实的地位。
We know we are the servant of Krishna.
我们都知道自己是 Krishna 的仆人。
But have we realized it?
但是必须要觉悟到这一点。
When we realize that we are Krishna's servant, then we will be humble.
当我们真正的觉悟到自己是 Krishna 的仆人的时候， 就会真正的谦卑下来。
We will be humble, we will be respectful in our dealings.
我们就会特别的谦卑，特别的尊敬别人。
So, in this way, Krishna is glorifying this knowledge.
所以通过 Krishna 通过这样的方法 荣耀了这门知识。
So then in the second verse he says, if we understand this knowledge, we can come to the transcendental nature.
那么在第二十节里说到了,如果我们文处于这门知识之中,就能到达同我一样的超然本性。
What is that transcendental nature?
那么这个超然本性是什么?
Prabhupada explains in the second paragraph of the purport.
啪啪在要旨的第二段里解释了。 I read it. 一般而言,在物质世界, 人所得到的任何知识都被物质自然三形态污染了。未受到自然三形态污染的知识称为超然知识。一旦处于超然知识之中，人就跟至尊主在同一层面上。对灵性天穹一无所知的人认为，摆脱物质活动之后，灵性的身份变得没有形体，也失去了多样性。然而，正像在这个世界中有多种多样的物质一样，灵性世界也是多姿多彩的。 对此一无所知的人认为，灵性存在跟物质中截跟物质种类截然相反。然而实际上，在灵性天空仍获得灵性的形体，而且还有灵性活动。灵性的境况称为奉献生活，那里的环境不受污染，而且人跟至尊主在品质上是一致的。要得到这些知识，就必须培养全部灵性品质。这样去培养灵性品质的人。 无论在物质世界创造时还是在毁灭时都不受影响。So
some people think that spiritual existence means to give up all activities.
那有的时候人们认为去灵修从事灵性的活动是指的是放弃所有的物质的活动。And
not to have any form.
而且没有任何的形体。But
Prabhupada explains this is not real, the highest transcendence.
但是帕帕在这里解释了，这不是最高的超然境界。That
there are spiritual forms,
有灵性的躯体。And
there are also spiritual activities,
而且还有灵性的活动。So
we are practicing spiritual activities here in this world.
所以我们是在这个物质世界里在练习着做灵性的活动。These
activities are bhakti yoga.
那么这个灵性的活动就是 bhakti yoga, 奉爱瑜伽。
Begins with hearing and chanting.
Bhakti Yoga, 它是从聆听和唱诵开始的.
Worshipping Krishna.
它崇拜 Krishna.
And remembering Krishna.
记忆 Krishna.
So we practice these activities here so that we can go to the spiritual world one day and engage in those activities there.
所以呢，我们在这个物质世界里来练习着这些灵性的活动。 当有一天，当你回到灵性世界里的时候，你也会从事这样的灵性的活动。These
activities are eternal.
这个灵性的活动是永恒的。It's
not just we just simply do them here in this world, and then one day we can give them up.
它不是说在这个物质世界里做这些活动，灵性的活动，然后终有一天的时候，就放弃了这些活动。Some
people think that they chant, and then one day they will not need to chant anymore.
那么有的人却想，他现在唱诵，可能有一天，到那一天的时候，他就不再唱诵了。They've
already chanted to perfection, and now they don't need to chant.
所以他们就认为，唱诵到达了完美之后，就不再唱诵了。But
the correct understanding is that we chant to become perfect, and when we become perfect, then we will want to chant more.
那么完美的理解就是这样的。 我们通过唱诵到达完美，一旦到达完美之后，你会愿意唱诵更多。So
in transcendence there are also activities.
所以呢，在超人的层面也有活动。Then
text 3, Krishna begins to explain again, because in the last chapter he was explaining about material, about prakriti. So here in this third verse, Lord Krishna explains how the living entities take birth.
那么在第上一章上十三章的时候 Krishna 解释了 prakriti 物质自然在这里呢 Krishna 第三十节里 Krishna 解释了生物体是怎么出生的。
Lord Krishna uses the word Brahman to describe in this case the Prakriti.
那么 Krishna 在这里用了 Brahman 这个词来指 Prakriti.
Previously, he had used in the previous chapter, Brahman was used to describe the living entities.
我们在前一章里面知道了 Brahman, 它指的是这个生物体，运用了 Brahman 这个词来指生物体。
But in this third verse, Krishna uses the word Brahman to describe the material nature.
但是呢，在第三世界十四章的第三世界里 ，Krishna 运用了 Brahman 来指物质自然。
So this. The material nature in its unmanifested stage is called pradan.
物质自然处在未展示状态的时候被称为 pradan.
And when it becomes manifest, then it is known as mahatattva.
当它得以展示的时候，它就被称为 mahatattva.
Within the mahatattva, all of the different elements of the material nature are present.
在 mahatattva 中，在 Mahatattva 之中，有这个物质世界当中所存在的一切，
including the three modes of nature，
也包括物质三形态在内。
That means that the 24 elements are all there。
也就是说，全部二十四种元素全在 Mahatattva 之中。
Just like when you make some sweet rice, 天奶饭。
就像你做的甜奶饭。
So within the 10 night fun, you have milk and rice and sugar.
那你要做甜奶饭的话，必须要有大米、有牛奶、有糖。
And you may even put somebody. Sometimes they put some cashew.
有的人他还放那个卡达门。
Or somebody may put the raisin and the 葡萄干。
有的人还放一点葡萄干。
They're all mixed there.
所以他们全都混在一起。
So Mahatattva is like that. All the elements are mixed. All 24 elements all mixed up.
所以呢 ，Mahatattva 就像这样，它都是由这二十四种元素全都混煮在一起的。
Or you make some soup and you put so many vegetables, you put everything in.
就像你做汤一样，放这个汤里面放各种各样的蔬菜。
So the Mahatattva is like the big soup.
所以呢 ，Mahatattva 就像是一道巨大的汤，一碗巨大的汤。
The universal soup.
它是这个宇宙汤。
Everything's in there, all mixed up.
每个什么东西都在里面。
And these elements are used at the beginning for the creation.
所以呢，在这些元素呢，就是被用来创造的。
Lord Krishna says he impregnates the material nature.
Krishna 在这里说，他使物质自然受孕。
Yeah, in text four, read text four.
第四章第四十节，昆提之子呀，你要明白，各种各类的生命在这个物质自然中诞生，使能存在，而我就是种下种子的父亲。
Just like if a lady has a child.
就像是一个妇女怀孕。
There must be a father for the child.
那妇女怀孕，她必须要有一个，这个孩子必须要有父亲。
We don't know any ladies who can say, "Well, I have a child, but I have no father."
我们不可能会找到。
The child has no father.
我们不可能找到这样一个妇女，是我有孩子，但这个孩子没有父亲。
There must have been some father sometime.
那肯定是在某个时候，这个父亲就已经在了。
The father has to put the seed in the woman, and then the woman can give birth.
那么这个父亲要把他的精液注射到这个。母亲的子宫里，这样母亲呢就能够生出孩子。
In the purport of text 3, Prabhupada gives a nice example.
在第三十节里边，要指帕帕给了一个特别好的例子。
He talks about scorpions.
他讲了蝎子。
How they lay eggs in the rice.
他讲了蝎子怎么在米堆里产卵。
And then sometimes people think they see the scorpions coming out from the rice.
然后他们就认为这个蝎子是从米里面产生出来的。
They do not think, oh, that somebody must, that some other scorpion must have come and put the eggs there.
他们并没有想到是因为有了其他的蝎子在那个米里面产下了卵，然后在那个米里面就有了蝎子。
From the eggs, then the scorpions came.
这样呢，从这个米中的这个卵里面，卵
In the same way, material nature cannot just simply produce life on its own.
所以呢, 同样的, 物质自然,
material nature, prakriti, means it's an inferior energy.
那么物质自然, 它是一个, 毫无生气的, 没有生命力的,
and there's the superior energy. Krishna himself, he is the father of all living entities.
那么, Krishna, 他本人是所有生物的父亲。
He says, Aham bija pradapita. I am the father.
他在, Krishna 在这里说了, 我是种下种子的父亲。
So all different species of life come from that one supreme.
So, 所以各种各类的生物都是从这唯一的这个父亲那里来的, Krishna 那里来的。
And Prabhupada explains how the living entities are everywhere in all different conditions, in the earth, in the sky, and in the water.
所以接着在那个 Krishna 帕帕说了在 说了在任何地方都有生物体, 在天空, 在水里, 在陆地, 各种各样的受条件限制的这个生物体,
even in fire,
甚至在火里都有生物存在,
just like in some, there's some poisonous thing, some poisonous substance,
就像是有一些有毒的东西,
and you will find there are living entities also living in there.
你会发现这个毒物当中也有生物体存在,
we cannot live in such conditions, but other living entities.
我们不能够生活在这种有毒的这种物体当中, 但是其他的生物体却能够在这种状态下生存下来。
How do these living entities live there?
那这些生物体怎么能够存在于这种毒物当中呢?
They're given the body, suitable body to live.
因为他们有这种适合生活在这种毒物当中的躯体。
And the father, the seed-giving father is Krishna.
那播下种子的人就是父亲, 就是 Krishna.
But then Krishna goes on to explain, then what are these three modes?
接着在第五十节里面, Krishna 就解释了物质自然三形态。 物质自然有三形态, 善良形态, 情欲形态, 愚昧形态。 当永恒的生物跟自然接触时, 臂力强大的 Arjuna 呀, 他就受到这些形态的制约。
So, the living entity is pure and transcendental.
生物体本身就是原本是超然的, 是灵性, 是永恒的。
It's nothing to do with the material nature.
它跟这个物质自然没有任何的关系。
But he, because of his desire to rebel, to be independent of the superior nature, he comes in contact with the material energy.
因为呢, 他想, 他有这种, 想控制,
rebel.
所以呢,他跟这个物质自然就有了接触。
And in this way, he contacts the material nature.
就这样呢, 他就接触到了这个物质自然。
And this is the cause of his conditioning.
这就被称为受条件限制。
He's conditioned to associate with these different conditions of goodness, passion, and ignorance.
因为他跟物质自然三形态接触, 善良形态, 情欲形态, 愚昧形态, 所以他受制约。
Just like if you are printing a picture, if you go to any printing company where they do printing, color printing, they will use three or four colors to print.
就像你去这些, 画画的一些公司, 他们就是画任何色彩的彩色的画图片, 他们画这个彩色的图片的时候, 都一般要用三种颜色。
If you are an artist, if you start with three colors, then you can mix hundreds and hundreds of other colors.
如果你是一个艺术家的话，你是一个画家的话，你只要去研究这三种颜色，掌握怎么样去运用这三种颜色，你就能够用这三种颜色创造出其他好几百种其他的颜色。
In the same way, from the three modes of material nature, we get 88,400,000 different species of life.
同样的，我们通过这个物质自然三形态，这个物质自然三形态的这个组合，就创造出了。就形成了840万种不同的种族生命。
These three modes of material nature are called gunas. Gunas mean rope.
那么这三个物质自然三形态被称为 guna. Guna 的意思是绳子。
But sometimes it's also they're also likened to chains.
有的时候它也被称为链条。
Just like sometimes you may be a prisoner and put in chains.
那就像是那个。镣铐一样，有的时候它也被称为手铐，就像是在那个监狱里犯人戴的手铐。
Now, if you're put in chains, even if the chains are made of gold,
就像如果你戴上手铐，被戴上手铐了，即便是这个手铐是用金子做的
，still you're a prisoner.
那实际上你还是一个犯人。
And if the chains are made of silver, then you're still a prisoner.
那即使是这个。手铐它是银的，你还是这个犯人。
So there are three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance.
所以有三种物质，物质形态有三种：善良、情欲和愚昧形态。
If you are in the mode of goodness, that is like being a prisoner in chains of gold.
如果你处在善良形态当中，就像是那个戴着金手铐的犯人一样。
The mode of passion is like being in silver chains.
那如果处在激情形态当中，就像是戴着银手铐的犯人。
And the mode of ignorance is like steel chains.
如果处在愚昧形态，就像是戴着铁手铐的这个犯人。
But all three people, they're prisoners.
但是这三个即使戴着这三种手铐的人，他还都是犯人。
They're not free of the material nature.
他们都没有从物质自然三形态当中摆脱出来。
Oh, someone is a very good person.
有一次有一个很好的人。
They're very much in the mode of goodness. They're very pious.
他们非常虔诚，他们很大程度上都处在善良形态之中。
But they're still under the control of material nature.
但是他们仍然处在物质自然形态的控制之下。
They are not free.
他们不是自由的。
Lord Krishna is going to explain about each of these modes.
那主 Krishna 他要去一一解释这物质自然三形态。
First of all, the mode of goodness.
首先他解释了处在善良形态当中的人。
The mode of goodness, you can read the symptoms.
你可以看，如果处在善良形态当中的人，我们可以去了解他们的征候。第六十节，无罪的人啊，善良形态光辉璀璨。比其他形态更纯洁，它能使人免除各种恶报。处于善良形态的人为幸福感和知识所局限。
People in the mode of goodness have this qualification that they're pure.
那么处在善良形态当中的人呢，他们有这样的品质，他们非常纯净、纯洁。
They're almost free of sin.
他们基本上免于各种罪恶。
But they're conditioned.
但是他们仍然受条件限制。
They are attached to happiness and knowledge.
他们依附幸福感和知识。
They think they are better than other people.
他们认为自认为自己比其他人都高都好。
Because they have knowledge.
因为他们有知识。
They're enjoying life comfortably.
他们很舒舒服服地享受生活。
And they are attached to these things.
但是呢，他们却依附这些幸福生活知识。
So Prabhupada gives the example of such people like scientists and philosophers that these are good examples of people in the mode of goodness.
所以帕拉帕就给出了例子，说处在善良形态当中的人，例如科学家等等，他们都是处在善良形态当中很好的例子。
And philosophers.
还有那些哲学家。也是处在善良形态当中的很好的例子。
They have good knowledge. They have a nice life.
他们有很渊博的学术，他们有很好的知识。
But they're simply attached to their comfortable condition.
但是呢，他们却非常依附自己的很舒适的状况。
And they're simply attached to being superior, to being more learned and more educated than others.
而且他们很依附自己地位比别人高，他们很依附自己比其他的人有更有知识。
So in this condition, they have to take birth again and again.
所以在这种受条件限制的状况下，他们仍然要一次又一次的投生。
One may be a musician, an artist, a poet.
可能有的人是音乐家，艺术家，诗人。
These kind of people, they're simply attached to being in the mode of goodness.
但你们要知道，这些人他们都是非常依附他们的这种幸福生活的。
And they take birth. They have to take birth again and again.
在这种情况下，他们仍然要在物质世界里一次又一次的投生。
Come back again and again to study and do these same things.
他们要一次又一次的来到这个物质世界里，一次又一次的学习这些知识、这些艺术。
In India, there's a famous man. He plays sitar.
在那个印度有一个非常著名的人，他弹吉他。
Yeah, his name was Ravi Shankar.
他的名字叫 Ravi Shankar.
He was very famous playing the sitar, Indian classical music.
他非常擅长弹奏那个 sitar。就是那个西塔琴，好像是西塔琴，嗯，印度是印度的一种古典乐器。
Just like in China, you have musicians, they play these Chinese classical instruments.
就像是在中国有很多人擅长演奏中国古典乐器。
古筝。
吹笛子。
People, they can become very attached to doing these things.
那些人他们非常依附弹奏这些古典乐器。
And they take birth again and again and again.
由于这种依附，所以他们又一次又一次的投生。
This one man in India, they said this life, this was his ninth birth to play the sitar.
那么说，据说这个人是这一生他是第九十世弹奏西塔了。这种古乐器。
Yeah, because his whole day, his whole life, every day, every in his whole life is just play the sitar, the music, and so at the time of death, he's simply thinking, play the sitar, take birth again, come back again.
因为这个人他这一生当中每天都在不停的弹奏西塔这个乐器，所以在死亡的时候，他仍然想着在要去弹这个西塔，所以他再次投生到这个物质世界里，然后再去学怎么去弹这个西塔，再去弹这个西塔。
So this is a mode of goodness. You get attached to these silly things.
所以呢，就是即使是处在善良形态当中的人，他们仍然去依附这些很傻的事情。
And they never get out of the material world.
而且他们从来不能够从物质世界里摆脱出来。
So then the mode of passion is described.
接着描述了情欲形态的人，昆蒂之子呀，情欲形态由无限的欲望和渴求产生，因此体困的生物受物质功利性活动的束缚。
So in the mode of passion, of course, the classic symptom of the mode of passion is attraction between the opposite sexes.
那么在这里说到了。处在激情形态当中的人，他们完全受异性的吸引。特征，这是情欲形态的特征。
And as passion increases, then we want more, and we want to enjoy the material world more.
而且因为处在这种激情形态当中，所以他们越来越想享受这个物质世界。
We want to be honored in the society.
他们想成为这个社会的主人。
And we want to have more and more.Of the objects of the material world.
他们想得到更多的，他们想得到在这个物质世界里得到更多，达到更多更多的目标。
We want bigger property, bigger house.
他们想要财产，更多的财产。他们想要大豪宅。
More children.
他们想有更多的孩子。
More land.
他们想要更多的土地。
More money.
要更多的钱。
This is all the mode of passion.
这全都是情欲形态的征兆。
Very strong desires.
他们有很强烈的欲望。
And people working very hard to achieve these desires.
而且那些人他们非常辛苦的去工作，去达到这些目标。
So then the mode of ignorance is described.
所以接着呢讲述了愚昧形态当中的人。巴拉塔之子哟，要知道愚昧形态生于黑暗，使所有生物产生 幻觉，这一形态导致结果就是疯狂、懒惰、昏睡。这些将受条件限制的灵魂捆绑。
So the mode of ignorance is the opposite of the mode of goodness.
所以呢，愚昧形态完全跟善良形态相反。
And the mode of ignorance there are no activities.
在那个，在愚昧形态当中，他们的活动是非常低级的。
You know, they want to stop activities. They just want to sleep and be lazy and dirty.
在这种愚昧形态当中，他们想停止活动，他们就是想懒惰、昏睡。
They have no idea about the any purpose in life.
他们对生命的目标没有任何的想法。
They have no thought about. They never think or inquire about any purpose of life.
他们从来不会去询问有关生命的目标的问题。
They simply want to serve their senses.
他们只想去服务自己的感官。
Fill the belly.
他们就想只想填饱自己的肚子。
And sleep.
然后接着昏昏大睡。
And in this way, there's the passive days.
就这样，他们就这样浪费了一生，浪费了这整一天。
So these are the three modes of material nature.
所以这就是描述了物质自然三形态。
And just read text 9.
第九十节，巴拉塔之子哟，善良形态使人受制于快乐，情欲形态使人受制于功利性活动，而愚昧形态则遮蔽了知识，使人疯狂。
So the results of cultivating these different modes is described.
所以在这里讲述了培养这三种物质自然形态的结果。
The mode of goodness. People are conditioned, they're happy.
那么处在善良形态的人，他们受制于快乐，他们是快乐的，但他们受制于这种快乐。
Passion means activity.
那么情欲形态就是非常活跃。
Whereas the mode of ignorance, people are simply mad.
那么处在愚昧形态的人，他们是疯狂的。
We have to associate with these different modes.
我们是被迫与这三种形态接触。
As devotees, we want to cultivate the mode of goodness.
作为奉献者，他们是应该去想着去培养善良形态。
We want to get out from these modes.
我们应该从这形态当中摆脱出来。
Lord Krishna will explain how we can do this.
那Krishna 他解释了我们怎么能够才能够做到这一点。
Are there any questions?
讲到这里有什么问题吗？
心，刚才您讲的心智思辨和那个哲学思辨，还是。就是举个例子来讲，就是说，奎西纳说我是水中干贝，这个用心智思辨会是怎么样一个？用哲学思辨，这个怎么样的区别
？Well, like I said, if you want to understand it according to the philosophical speculation, it means we should understand how Krishna is the taste in water on the basis of scripture.
那么，如果我们想通过哲学推敲去了解 Krishna 怎么会是水之甘味，就得基于经典的知识去了解这一点。
For example, in the scriptures, we learn how Krishna is in everything.
就像例如经典里说 ，Krishna 他无所不在。
He's omnipresent, and is within every atom.
他 Krishna 无所不在，甚至在原子之中。
So he's also within the water.
所以他也在水里面。
So, he's the active principle in everything.
所以呢，他是一切当中的活跃的原则。
So the active principle of water is taste.
那么这个水的活跃的原则就是它的味道。
Without water having taste, it's not water. If there's not, something is water by its taste.
如果我们通过那个品尝这个味道，就知道那个是水了。
So Krishna himself arranges for that water to have a particular taste.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他已经安排了这个水，它肯定有它自身的特别的味道。
And he does it. He does it through his. He can do it through his impersonal energy.
而 Krishna 他可以通过他的非人格的能量做到这一点。
By his spiritual potency.
通过他的灵性的能量做到这一点。
Simply by his own physical, by his own spiritual presence.
所以他可以通过他自己的这种灵性的存在，做到这一点。
We have to apply the knowledge of the scriptures to understand how Krishna could put taste in water.
那么我们必须要通过经典的知识去运用 Krishna 怎么它存在于水之中。
You can there are many different ways in which we can understand this.
我们可能有其他的种种方法去了解明白这一点。
Krishna says water is one of his original elements of the material nature.
Krishna 说水是他这个创造最开始的五大元素之一。
Yeah, there are five elements. Water is one of them.
那么有五大元素创造的五大元素，水是其中之一。
So water is Krishna's energy. So this water has a taste because it's Krishna. It's coming from Krishna.
那么水呢，也是 Krishna 的能量之一。它水，因为这个，那么水肯定也有它的味道，而这种味道是来源于 Krishna 的。
And Krishna says everything comes from him.
所以 Krishna 说一切都源自于他。
So this taste of water also comes from Krishna.
所以水的味道也是来自于 Krishna 的。
So this is, you know, this, I'm applying the statements of the scriptures to understand how Krishna is the taste in water.
我现在是运用的经典里所描述的话语，然后让这些话语帮助我们去了解 Krishna 怎么是水的味道。
But mental speculation, we will simply, you know, we come to some idea, some understanding just simply by the power of our own mind. We simply invent something.
我们要是如果说到那个心智推敲的话，我们是只不过是运用心意的力量，想当然的以为。
But if whatever we say, if we back it up with a statement from scripture, that is philosophical speculation.
要如果你说的全都能够在经典里找到的话，那么你说的就是这个哲学思辨。
But if you say something which has nothing to in relation to scripture, that is mental speculation.
但是如果所说的跟这个经典没有任何的连接的话，那你所说的就是心智推敲。
如果你今天是两个问题，就是水是干裂，这个水是液体。
He said that the taste of the water refers to the liquid or just the water.
Pure water.
Pure water. Pure water. 你说那个水是一种液体，还是指的是？
对，这个水之甘味，就是克西纳说我是水之甘味。
啊，你说那个
water or liquid？
我说哦耶 ，Krishna said， I'm the taste of the water. This water refers to the liquid or just the water or other liquids, include other liquids. For example, alcohol.
No.Just
no,
water.
Just water.
Yeah.
Instead of liquid.
Yeah. Water. Not all liquids, just water.
它不是，没说是液体，说的是水。
Water.
但是气体也有味道，就是说它气体也是味道，就科西纳液体来自于科西纳，就水是来自于科西纳，所以水里有奎西那的这种味道
啊，
但是你空间里或者你的气味里头也有味道，这个味道肯定也是来自。
But that 这个不是 Krishna， 这个味道不是 Krishna， 这又所以是 Krishna 的味道，不是所有的液体，肯定也其他的东西也有自己的味道，可是他们不是。不这般个 Krishna 说 ，I am the taste in water。他们要说 ，Why I'm the taste in soda yeti？ I'm the taste in water。
不是气体， 是气体，
气体，
气体，还有那个水之
不是
泥土中的芬芳。
The fragrance in the earth.
这是另外一个。
这是另外一个问题。
都是 Krishna。
都是 Krishna 说了，他是。
可是刚才的解释是这么一个，我理解是这么一个。刚才您的解释是这么一个逻辑。
嗯哼。
所以我就引出，气体里也有。
气体。
味道。
气体
味道是不是也是 Krishna 的味道？然后泥土里也有味道。
Algae， 气体，哎，气体怎么说
？Gas，yeah.
So Krishna is the taste of gas, because gas also has a taste.
Gas is from Krishna.
Yeah, there are many different tastes.
那有各种各样的味道。
We can say everything comes from Krishna.
我们可以说一切都来自于 Krishna.
But there's a special taste in water.
但是水有它自己独特的味道，特别的味道。
That is referred to in Bhagavad Gita.
而且这种味道就是指的就是《博迦梵歌》里所指的那个味道。
Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita that he is the taste in water.
Krishna 说了，他是水中的味道，水的味道。
So I was giving logical explanations how Krishna is the taste in water.
我刚才给出了这个支撑的论据，来那个去说明 Krishna 怎么是水的味道。
Yeah, there are many other tastes.
当然了，也有各种各样的其他的味道。
And everything comes from Krishna.
但是一切都是来自于 Krishna.
But there's a special taste of water.
但是水有它的特别的味道。
Beer has its taste. Wine has its taste.
但那个啤酒有它的味道，这个其他的那个酒，烈性酒也有它的味道。
But water is a special taste.
但是这个水的味道是特别的。
And that is Krishna says, I am the taste of water.
然后 Krishna 说了，我是水的味道。
But Krishna, of course, there are many, many tastes, and everything comes from Krishna.
当然，还有很多很多的各种的味道，一切都是来自于 Krishna。
But water has a special significance.
但是呢，水有它的独特的这个特别之处，味道。
那么用心智思辨来理解 Krishna 是水的味道，会得到什么样的结果
？What's the result of?
Using the
mind, mental speculation to understand Krishna is the taste of in the water. So,
it's an exercise to use our mind to think more about Krishna.
我们要
exercise.
我们需要这个练习，需要练习去明白 Krishna 是水的味道。
To think more about the scriptures and understand the philosophy.
而要又就是要更多的去理解去研究经典里说的怎么样去明白 Krishna 的这个哲学。
How much are you understanding the philosophy?
那我们在多大程度上能够理解哲学呢？ Krishna 智觉的哲学。
This is a benefit.
这才是受益之处的。
We have to train our mind to think of Krishna.
我们必须要训练自己的心意去记住 Krishna.
How will we think of Krishna?
我们应该怎么样去想 Krishna?
You have to think about what he's teaching us from Bhagavad Gita.
我们必须要想着 Krishna 在《博迦梵歌》里教导了我们什么。
Control the mind by spiritual knowledge.
我们通过灵性的知识要控制感官，控制心意。
How are we developing that vision to see Krishna in everything?
我们怎么样去培养，在一切之中都能够看到 Krishna 的这种视域？
This is a very good exercise for our mind.
这对心意来说是一个非常好的练习。
We have to make the mind a friend.
我们必须要让心意成为我们的朋友。
And to do that, we have to think of Krishna.
那么要这样做到这一点，我们必须要想着 Krishna.
Because if we don't use the mind to think of Krishna, the mind will think of sense gratification.
如果我们不用心意来想着 Krishna 的话，那么心意就会想着感官享乐。
When we think of sense gratification, then we will go and do sinful activities.
如果让心意想着感官享乐的话，我们就会去从事各种各样的罪恶活动。
And when we do sinful activities, then we take another birth in the material world.
如果我们从事罪恶活动，我们就会在物质世界里再次投生。
You have to suffer again.
那么你就会再次受苦。
So this is a benefit.
所以这就是我们的福祉。
Yeah, okay.
第一个是，就是因为有生物有享乐的倾向。
可以享受这个世界。
享受这个世界。
Yeah, one thing is to enjoy this world.
物质世界，物质世界的创造是为了满足个体生物享受这个物质世界的愿望。
And the other thing is that we can practice devotional service and get out from the material world.
另一个目标就是我们可以在这个物质世界里练习的怎么样从事奉献服务，然后从这个物质世界里摆脱出来。
So, this why did Krishna create this world?
为什么 Krishna 创造了这个物质世界？
For these two reasons.
就是为了这两个原因。
Yeah.You want to enjoy? Okay, you can stay here and enjoy.
因为你想享受，那你可以待在这儿，那你就享受去吧。
Take birth and die again and again.
在这个物质世界里，一次又一次的生和死。
Sometimes you're a pig, sometimes you're a dog, sometimes you're a tree.
有的时候你投生为猪，有的时候你投生为狗，有的时候你投生为树。
You stay in the material world.
但是你依然停留在这个物质世界里。
But we can also think how to get out of this world.
但是我们也应该想着怎么样摆从这个物质世界里超脱出来。
Do devotional service.
这就是要从事奉献服务。
Engage in spiritual activities.
从事灵性的活动。
Purify ourselves.
要净化自己。
And we can get out into the spiritual world.
这样我们就能够从这个物质世界里超脱出来，进入到灵性世界。
还有什么问题？
就是如果有的人他不想回去，他只是想在这个物质世界，但是他还是想为 Krishna 做奉献服务。他就说他就不用做的那么好，不用遵守所有的规范原则，这可以吗？这行得通吗
？Well, that's risky.It's risky. Risky is dangerous.
这是很冒险的，这是有危险的。
There are great devotees like Vasudev Datta. He's a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya.
有一个伟大的奉献者叫 Vasudev Datta， 他是朱切坦尼亚的伟大奉献者。
So he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. He said, "Let all these sinful people." Go back to Godhead. I will take their karma and stay here and suffer.
然后这个 Vasudeva Datta 就是这样主持他那样祈祷说，让这个物质世界里所有堕落的灵魂都回归守神，让我一个人去承受他们的 karma， 他们的业报。
Are you like that? You want to do that?
你想这么做吗？
You want to take the karma for all the sinful people?
不是我有人。
你想去承受所有那些罪恶之人的 karma 吗？
Are you very merciful?
那你要如果你想这么做的话，那你太仁慈了。
是不是只有人才有资格进入灵性世界
？Only the human is qualified to enter into the spiritual world.
Only human?
Ask. Only human being.
Well, the qualification to enter into the spiritual world, you have to have love of Krishna.
那么进入灵性世界的资格就是你必须要拥有对 Krishna 的爱 ，prema.
You have to want to enter in. You have to have pure desire, no attachment, no material attachment.
你必须要有这种纯净的欲望，没有不在这个。
猪了、狗了这些动物，它是不是就没有资格？
Well, animals, they don't have that intelligence to understand.
那动物它没有理解这个 Krishna 知觉知识的这个智性。
Animals can only eat and sleep and mate and defend.
那么这些动物呢，它们就是吃喝防卫交配。
The animal will not ask, "Who am I? Why am I here?"
这个动物它不会问我是谁，我为什么待在这儿，它不会问这样的问题。
They're going in the slaughterhouse where they're going to kill all the pigs. And the pig is just simply saying, where is food?
然后即便是把猪那个拉到头屠宰场里要去杀它之前它还在问我吃的东西在哪
They're not thinking about anything else.
他们不会想别的东西。
Yeah, they are. But they're in a different body.
但是他们在不同的躯体当中。
Yeah, that body is their karma. That's their 业报。
是，他们的躯体是他们的业报的结果。
Yeah. When you, this is a punishment you get. You get the animal body.
那如果一个，听了，等会儿，等他听说。但如果一个人投身在猪的这个躯体里面，这就是他的这个业报。他因为受到了惩罚，他的业报，所以他这就是他，所以他投身到猪的这个躯体里面，得到这种惩罚。
When the person dies in the mode of ignorance, then he takes the body of the animal.
当一个人处在愚昧形态当中，他处在这种愚昧形态当中死去的时候，之后他就会投身到一个动物的躯体里。
That animal body is a punishment for the living entity.
所以呢，投生到物质，投生到动物的身体里，对生物来说是一个惩罚。
Of course, the animals are not meant to be killed.
当然了，动物是不应该被杀死的。
Yeah, human form of life is special.
当然人形躯体人形生命是非常特别的
Human life is not meant to live like animals
人形生命不是为了像动物一样活着
But if people only eat and sleep and mate and defend then they are like animals
但是如果人只是一味的吃喝防卫交配他们跟动物没什么区别
It probably said the dog runs on four legsAnd we run on four wheels.
帕帕说这个狗它用四条腿走路人是用两条腿走路。啊四个轮子走路对对。驾着车。四个
腿四个轮。
四个轮子走路。
其实他们的目的是一样。
对。
就是找配方位。So, human life is meant to ask, but who am I? Why am I suffering?
所以人形生命应该是这样来用它的目标是应该问我是谁 我为什么来在这里我生命的目标是什么
We're not meant just only to work hard and become rich
那人形生命不是目标不是为了辛苦的工作赚大钱成为富有的人这不是目标
我想问那个愿望和欲望的区别
愿望Willing. What's the difference between willings and desires?
There are different levels of desire.
愿望或者是欲望有不同的层面。
Yeah. We say thinking, feeling, willing.
我们说有感受，有愿望，还有思想、感受和愿望。
As the desire increases, the desire becomes stronger, then you have to have something very bad.
啊，就是，那如果这个欲望越来越强烈，越来越多，那么你肯定是要 badly.
Yeah, we want something. I have to have it.
啊，yeah, yeah. 就是如果你欲望越来越强烈，越来越强烈，这就是很糟糕了。
In the beginning, we see something, we think about it. Oh, maybe.
可能一开始的时候，当你别人给你东西的时候，你可能。
Or you're shopping, you look in the shop window, you see something. This is nice. So that's nice.
那可能你去购物的时候，去逛商场的时候，一看到什么很好的东西，你说，哦，这看上去很漂亮。
You think about it a little while.
然后你接着你就会想想。
Then you walk around, you go to other shops.
然后你就接着你就走到其他的商店里去。
And then you start to think more about, well, that dress was so nice.
然后你呢就想着这个服装很好看。
You know, and you're thinking about that more. You're.
接着你就会越来越想着刚才你看的那套服装。
And then you go around more shops.
然后接着你就去又到四处商场里去逛。
But still, you're thinking, no, that was a dress. I have to have it.
然后接着你还是想着刚才第一次看的那个服装，说我一定要得到那个服装。
You go back, you get it.
然后你就回到了第一家那个商店，然后买了那个服装。
So desire enters in the mind, and then it gets stronger.
所以呢，这个欲望呢，一旦进入一个人的内心，它就会变得越来越强烈。
我还想问，就是当愿望也好，欲望也好，就是被物质三心态。污染嘛，就是我接触了，在没接触之前，我想问，在没接触之前，它来自于哪
？So before contact with the material natures, three modes of material nature, where do the desire come from?
It comes from the living entity.
它来自于这个生物个体，来自于生物体。
That we have the desire.To enjoy.
我们都有这种享乐的愿望欲望。
Separate from Krishna.
它是想独立于 Krishna 的这种愿望生物。
We take birth in this world because we want to enjoy.
我们在这个物质世界里投生，是因为我们想成为享受者。
And our enjoyment comes through these different desires.
那么这种想愿望享受的愿望呢，是它是来自于这种不同的愿望。来自于欲望，享受，成为享受者，是因为欲望导致的，欲望导致的。
你有享乐那种欲望，把它变成了那种愿望。
Well, the desire will also be it will be influenced by the body and our association, our particular environment.
当然，这种欲望或者是愿望，它也会通过这种各种各样的涟漪的，就是。促使，例如你的环境，你接触的人，会引发出你的这种欲望。
You know that not every lady is going to have the same desire. They have different desires.
不是说所有的妇女都有千篇一律的这种愿望，都是一样的。她们有各种各样的欲望。
And not all the ladies of the same age have the same desire.
并不是所有的年老人，他们的年龄都是一样的，他们的欲望都是一样的。
They're all individuals. They have their different desires.
他们都是个体，他们都有各自不同的欲望。
So we have that independence as living entities. We can desire for the service of Krishna, or we can desire for our own enjoyment in the material world.
所以个体生物都有他们的个体的独立性。他们可以选择愿望想去服务 Krishna， 也可以选择的去服务这个物质自然，在这个物质自然里进行享乐。
那愿望是本身就有的，个体灵魂。
So that means the desire already there.
The nature of the soul, yes, desire.
是那个灵魂的这种本性，它。
We have to purify the desire.
我们必须要净化这种欲望。
We cannot be without desire.
我们不可能活着没有愿望。
We have to purify desire.
我们必须要净化愿望。
我还有一点，那个，就是心意智性假我，当回灵性世界，心意智性假我还在吗
？No, this is material elements.
这是物质的元素，心意智性和假自我。
心意智性假我就没有了。
物质的，
那精微躯体就不在了。
物质的精微躯体不在。可是灵魂 ，you have a body, you have a spiritual body.
你有躯体，你有灵性的躯体。
So within the spiritual body, there will be thinking.
所以那个灵性的躯体，他们也有思想。
There will be pure ego.
他们有纯净的自我，纯自我。
Pure intelligence.
他们有纯净的自信。
All within the soul. Within the spiritual body.
所以这所有的这些都是灵性躯体所具有的。
Okay, we will stop. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.